Hello and welcome to the Scotchcast, the week of September 9th, 2017. I'm your host, Kevin Cynic, and joining me today is Durin.
We'll get this out of the way and then I'll... Hi.
Hi. It is September 9th, right? I was really worried there because I was like...
Yeah, no. I was gonna make a comment about last episode.
Uh-huh.
But I'll wait for introductions to get out of the way
God,
first.
Oh, God. Last episode. Nubram is also here. Hello, Nubram.
Oh, see, I thought Durin was going to make a 9/11 joke about the hurricane, but I guess not.
God, noob.
I was, like, very excited.
Oh, man. Last episode was tough.
What's going to happen?
I will not make that joke.
What's going to happen on 9/11 is that hurricane's going to hit Miami, and it's going to take down two very tall high-rises that were built together, and then North Korea is going to drop a nuke on New York City. That's God, what I'm North hoping
Korea.
For.
Let's talk about North Korea here for a hot second.
Wow.
Like, oh, my God. That's so stupid. As you're saying,
so, yeah, last episode. So I was not on the last episode. It was the one where
Ball
was on.
That was... that potentially too many people.
So that episode, well, no, that was actually not the issue I had with it. Listening to it, the issue was that made me realize that you guys could never do an episode at that time anymore.
Yeah.
At least. No. Yeah. I was gonna say. Yeah. I was gonna say one particular, but like, no, it was across the board. There was no energy. There was no fucking energy on that.
It was. It was so draining.
It sounded like you half asleep.
Yep.
You also sounded like you were half asleep for a different reason. like Ballard, I think, was the only one that had any energy. He's like the biggest energy guy ever.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow. If people are still listening to the show, I'm not going to apologize because we had to give it a shot, but I'm definitely going to be arguing against doing that again. Holy cow. Speaking of which, though, that said, like, I back in the middle of the day, I'm back to hosting. It's going to be a high energy episode. Oh, wait, there's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah, let's get psyched. I mean, talk about nothing.
Well, there is a hurricane happening this week.
You mean that's like the eighth time you've said that this, like, the last like 10 minutes?
I mean, we could talk about 9/11 as well.
Oh, God.
If there's no news, it's a slow news day.
Oh, let's talk about what 10 years? No, it was 16 years ago today, or like this week.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh my god, that was not 16 years.
Ago. Yeah,
I just realized that myself. I did the math. Holy fuck!
God, I was in high school.
Yeah, I was also in high school. I remember. Yeah. Anyway, let's not talk about fucking memories from 9/11. Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
The news. News is.
Be the title of our episode. Memories from 9/11.
And for those of you listening, this is why we do not and probably will not ever have any sponsors for our show.
I know what you're talking about. It's a family favorite podcast. Guaranteed,
as long as Nubarama is on this podcast, we will be commercial free.
Yeah, he's the link. He's the bread. That's the chain we need to break to get commercials. Like Nubarama. Yeah, that's not the unprofessionality. It's not last week's episode. No. Oh, man. Anyway, video games. Back to all right. So everyone brought a news topic. Nubarama brought hurricanes. We've covered that. Durin, what's your news topic for the week?
Overwatch is kind of fucking broken right now.
Okay. All right. What do you mean?
They let through a patch or a buff for Junkrat that just makes him stupid now. How that thing got out of PTR and into live, I don't know. They gave him another concussive mine, so he just puts out like stupid damage now, and he can triple jump.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm. Yeah,
Overwatch. That's a piece of news. Okay.
I'm trying to have fun with that game.
All right.
That's you know what I'm working with what I got here. Turns out when games come out, people stop giving it like stop releasing news. Like,
that's,
guess
yeah.
what? News is games are back.
Games are back. Like I've played 20, 30, maybe 35 hours of gaming in the last couple of days.
Jesus, fucking Christ.
I can't help it. I've got a problem. My piece of news that I'm bringing this week. Actually, I've got two pieces of news. One of them is this one. I'm going to link it to you guys in the chat. And I want you guys to see or your opinions on this, where if people remember a couple of months ago, maybe last year, these guys who ran a CSGO gambling website got caught.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They got caught promoting their website but not revealing that they'd owned the website. So they got a lot of people to, using their YouTube following, to go and actually essentially spend money on their website without ever saying that they owned it. It was pretty damn shady at the time, and it was actually kind of humorous because all these people who have never probably had a real life problem in their life suddenly had real life problems, and you could watch all their meltdowns on YouTube, which is great at the time. It was also fully shady, and no one really, it was all like on the down low, no one really had much information. But the problem is I haven't had the chance to read this whole article. All it says is YouTube has escaped punishment, and I wonder why.
So basically they essentially got off with a slap on the wrist. They got off by saying, from now on, going forward, we will always disclose any endorsements we do.
Well, I don't even know if it's a slap on the wrist, because they don't even need to admit any wrongdoing.
What?
At all. Yeah, it's just going forward. It was just a warning. It was a stern talking to.
They've instead agreed to disclose any endorsements going forward. Future breaches will lead to a $40,000 fine for every infraction.
No apology, no sort of public declaration for what they've done so far. Purely going forward, will this ever be an issue? Which I assume is not going to be an issue, because I doubt people watch their videos anymore after this.
So basically, they just made a shit ton of money and got off with, yeah, no, guys, don't worry, we'll never do this again. We already have all the money we need now.
It's strange, because at some point, at least I don't know, we're not that fucking old ourselves, but I look at them and I still see kids, right? These look like kids to me. And I was just like, okay, these weird like CSGO players that are blah, 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 blah. Like, I can see kids making a stupid mistake like this and essentially getting their lives ruined if they were going to jail. Or if they, like, looking at this, the next infraction that they would get would be, they'd be penalized $40,000 per infraction. Which is insanity. That's a very large amount. But
they are millionaires. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but like, money's one of those weird things, right? Where like it almost means nothing. It sounds like a horrible thing for me to say, but when someone's a millionaire, it's not like they unless they print it, unless they get it out in cash and then put it in cubes in their living room, right? That $1 million is actually being spent on investments by banks, and that's how the world works. Like, it's almost like, if you want to be jealous of them having Lamborghinis and stuff, sure, go ahead. But if in the end, like, Lamborghini got that money and they would have put it in a bank, and that bank would have put it in other investments, and that's just how the world kind of how it works. Like, at some point, as I get older, I start caring less about money itself and more about the intent behind it. And these are kids, in the end, like.
Well, but this is kids selling or basically lying to other children. Kids, yeah. Even younger children.
Exactly.
Because the market of CSGO gambling is truly, it's a big portion of that is under 18s.
Yeah.
Right? Not just lying to other kids, but like promoting gambling with minors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is a thing that is very, very illegal in our country.
That's the crazy thing, though. The fact that it's gambling doesn't seem to be a part of the case at all. Like, it just seems to be the false advertising, just, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the fact that it's gambling was just something that was kind of brought up during it as well.
That's a bigger issue. That's a legitimate issue. That's fair. Like, if they didn't pursue this because they want to actually take him to jail because they're fucking promoting gambling, that's maybe a different call. And I'd be kind of on side for that, but to some extent.
I guess my biggest problem is that in the end, like, neither of them felt like they really did anything wrong. And in fact, about a year, granted this was a year ago, but one of them actually felt that his disclosure was sufficient, because he always stated that his content was promoted or sponsored, even though he neglected to mention that, like, it was promoted and sponsored by a company he owned.
Right.
And he went back in time to put disclosures on the YouTube videos.
Oh, yeah, I was stupid.
And the descriptions, and it's just hilarious.
It's just
I think part of it is it's for a regulatory agency like the FTC, it's difficult because this is so it's like not even slot machines. You don't even know how can you describe this to somebody who doesn't know video games, right?
No, yeah. But
then again, it is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Just CSGO skins alone. That's a multi-billion dollar
gambling industry. The good part is, if nothing
which
else...
Which is crazy.
The good that came out of this is that now, in the wake of this whole thing, that is all regulated now.
Okay.
I mean, this... I don't think you could say that the whole... I don't know. The industry is regulated. I think in this specific
instance, I mean, specifically, like, CSGO skin market is now regulated.
I hope so.
What happened to it?
Go ahead and keep talking about... I'll find the.
What are your thoughts, Newbram? Like, do you think that, like, I don't know how old these guys are. I'd actually bet they're in their early 20s.
Maybe they're mid to late 20s. Right. They're mid to late 20s. Yeah.
So, like, well, okay. Do you think
the line they have in the article says that since skins are not a legal currency in themselves, the skin gambling industry has not until now been regulated as tightly as traditional casinos and bookmakers.
That makes sense.
So put out a similar news release on cracking down on offshore investments. That's a load of bullshit. That means what that means in that news release right there is they didn't really do anything. It's just, this is a first step, but I doubt they have a regulated framework for this.
Oh yeah,
and it's
it's Valve.
It'll be
so
interesting
like...
to see. Absolutely, it'll be. I think this is like a big sort of not a landmark decision, but like the first of many things to come. And I think it'll be interesting to see.
It's interesting because I'm not going to go into this topic, but we're about to hit a public vote on gay marriage. And one of the interesting things that come up is people making a stand of this is where we need to start slowing down change. There's a lot of people like, who in the conservative side of things? I'm not going to say they're wrong or right, but they're... their stance is that things are changing so quickly that they just want things to slow down. That's why they want to vote no in this particular case. The thing is, when it comes to this stuff, like online currencies and shit, it's crazy to me that cryptocurrencies are happening at the same time as these like other sub currencies regarding like cosmetic items in video games. And the whole point of like digital things that shouldn't be worth anything suddenly being worth something is something that I don't know if anyone can, like, this is going to be a rapid period of fucking like monstrous change worldwide to the point where like only now is China cracked down on cryptocurrencies. And that was a big fucking deal. They finally did that. And other people might follow, and that market might be regulated at some point. That could be a very good thing, but everyone's playing catch up, and it feels like every time a legal body just catches up, what they caught up to was already 5 years old. Like that's.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like with this type of market in particular, and it being so technology driven, this is definitely not a thing that we can slow down on regulation for it. Like,
yeah,
regulation is definitely not necessarily the answer, but. You've got to catch this stuff before it gets out of control, exactly. Especially in markets like this where this can snowball really, really rapidly.
Yeah, multiple billion dollars is no joke, especially since that's being spent on fucking nothing of what. Like I was talking before about money is only worth nothing if it's like printed out into like stacks and piled in your living room. Oh wait, no, there's actually a couple other ways that you can essentially burn money by putting the cryptocurrencies, for example. Like even though they're a pretty good investment if you're into something into risk, I'm not that into risk myself. They're worth like nothing. They're not making the world go round. Like that's just fucking. Just speculation monster happening shit over there. This is similar. Like you buying a skin means you're doing nothing with it. Unless if the other person's also using money to buy skins and all the money is eventually just pouring into, I don't know, nothing. That'd be interesting. But in the end, like, I wonder where all the money is. Like, it's a $2.3 billion industry. Some of it's to owners of sites.
Russia. But for every $2, $3.
A lot of it is in Russia.
Absolutely.
Like legitimately, a lot of it is in Russia.
Yeah,
a lot of it actually is probably Russian mafia.
But even if the Russian mafia is, you know, it's really Valve that's sinking in all this money, because once it's in that skin market, that's money that can only be ever spent in this Valve marketplace.
Yeah, right? Is it even money?
And the
money,
idea
then?
Is Valve constantly gets a cut of every single transaction until it snowballs.
Right.
And basically, it's really just that $2.3 billion, not all of that is going to be in Valve's pocket. In fact, a very small minor, like maybe 10%. Ever, you know, immediately goes to Valve, but it's in Valve's sort of playpen. It's not going elsewhere. You can't, it's very difficult to turn that into like liquid money.
Yeah.
That's why the government wants some of that dough.
Well, I mean, you say that, but it's actually not. Like, there are literally sites that are devoted to literally buying skins with real money outside of the Steam marketplace.
Oh, absolutely. And that's underground. But the problem is, like, there's a big cut, and the cost of taking those skins and turning that into cash, it's very, sure. very high.
It's digital money laundering. Like, it's another method of money laundering is all it is.
But it has a high transaction cost. And the unfortunate thing is, because the people, the vast majority of people who do this do it and end up keeping the skins because they're like kids and they want fancy skins. A lot of it ends up, it's just in Valve's pocket.
The unfortunate part about it, though, is because a lot of it does end up in Valve's pocket, they're not really incentivized to make too many changes to make sure it's the money that is getting outside the marketplace is not.
Exactly. And it's not 12-year-olds buying all of these skins in this slot machine kind of.
No, I don't think 12-year-olds are buying
with their parents' credit cards.
Life skins.
with their parents' credit card. It's shocking how many videos there are of kids like doing like the box openings. Like, after this thing happened, I was curious, so I searched it up, but a lot of them are just like 12-year-olds just being like, somehow they got the money for this because, you know, they have their kid's credit card and their kid's, you know, their allowance goes to this, buying a knife a month or whatever it is. But it's quite interesting where this is going to go in the next 5 years, I guess.
Do you think it'll be
whatever happened to the good old days where your allowance went to buying candy and soda?
I can't tell what's
it's
worse.
It's all about the candy and soda printed guns.
Yeah.
I cannot tell what's worse. Like, do you think it's always going to be CSGO? Or like, what do you think is, like, Overwatch didn't necessarily hit that.
I think it'll be CSGO for as long, it'll be CSGO for as long as Valve doesn't crack down on it. Like, as long as things stay the way they are, it's going to continue to be CSGO because that's where the market's at. Like, the market is so big there. Like, even Battlegrounds can't touch the CSGO market.
Yeah. No, not even. Speaking of which, the other piece of little news I had this week was Battlegrounds finally hit 1 million concurrent. So that's big, big boys league.
Yep. Crazy.
It is like fairly consistently, or at least more than just one time, surpassed Dota as the highest.
Damn. Damn.
It's just insane.
Wait, so what are League of Legends
10
numbers?
10 million copies sold. 10 million copies sold.
Are League of Legends numbers around there as well, or they're bigger?
It's hard to know. I don't know for certain, but I do know that it's surpassed League of Legends on Twitch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Multiple times.
That's interesting.
Like, it has become the number one Twitch streamed game times.
It's fun to watch. That's one of the things, like, unlike to me, League of Legends, I think anyone could watch pretty much Battlegrounds and kind of get an idea of what's going on almost immediately. Especially things like the fact that the outer radius keeps like reducing, like the fact that it's a big blue dome that's slowly encroaching, like everything's visibly apparent as a watcher.
Yeah, well, and not just that, but also like it's a great thing. Unlike League of Legends, where you kind of need to watch every second to really catch the nuances and just everything that's going on throughout the game, Battlegrounds is definitely the kind of thing you can easily throw on a second screen and be doing something, and then when you start hearing gunfire, you just stop what you're doing and watch what's going on, then go back to what you're doing while they continue their looting phase.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I wonder, what's the sports equivalent? Because I would say League of Legends is very similar, or Dota, or any of the MOBAs is very similar to like an actual like proper league sport with rule, like in-depth rules and specific players that people get into, and teams that people follow. And I don't know. What's the equivalent?
But the thing about Battlegrounds is, compared to Dota or League, like the entry in terms of like knowledge of the game required to just get in, or even to just watch, is way lower, right?
Yeah.
And I think part of
to that just get in, sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think part of that is appealing into its success and sort of the rapid adoption. It's a very simple concept, but it's very compelling, I guess. Yeah. The same way Hunger Games is very popular.
Hunger Games. Ugh.
But it's that same concept, right? Yeah. It sort of taps into that. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway. So those are the two pieces of news. That's the news this week. We have a hurricane.
Don't forget 9/11.
9/11 soon, I guess. That's pretty much it. So for people at home, I guess we have a high energy, low news episode. Durin, you've been playing something this week. You said
yeah. Yeah, I've been playing a couple things. I've been playing a game that I feel like nobody else is playing based on my Steam friends list. I think only 4 of the 70 some odd people on my friends list own this game. Hellblade is a pretty good game.
Oh my, yes! Oh, finally, wow. Someone's played Hellblade.
I literally bought it because I was like, nobody else is going to play this game. Somebody needs to play this to see if it's any good.
I was so going to, and then just nothing. I just couldn't get myself to buy it. Destiny came out, and then everything went downhill from there. Tell me about Hellblade, Durin.
So Hellblade is a walking simulator that you play. It actually is kind of a walking simulator.
I heard that. Yeah, I've heard it is.
It's like a walking simulator with some very light combat. I've not gotten super far. I basically got past the first boss. The game pretty much just boils down to walking through very, very pretty environments while having a story delivered to you. And occasionally dudes will just spawn up out of the ground and you fight them, and then when you're done fighting them, you continue walking, getting story, and you do these occasional Batman Riddler puzzles,
right?
Where you'll walk up to a gate and it'll give you some shapes needed, find those shapes in the environment, or there's some other puzzle where you need to go and find a fire, and that does a thing and allows you to get through this gate. Mm-hmm. And those are pretty much the only two puzzles I found so far. I played for a couple of hours now.
Wow.
But it's there's not a lot of gameplay to this game. It's literally you are walking around. The combat is very simple. It's you have a light attack, heavy attack, and then you have a kind of dodge out of the way. The combat is kind of actually cool. So one of the things about the game is your character has some kind of mental thing going. They hear voices.
Hmm.
The cool part is the way that they present that in the game is really smart. It uses binaural audio to actually have the voices literally coming out of individual ears.
Right.
And sometimes they'll be arguing with each other, or generally they're helpful in letting you kind of steering you through the game, letting you know what you need to do, where you need to go. And they're actually helpful in combat because it's a very zoomed in look. Your character is very close to the camera. Mm. And so you'll be fighting a guy and there'll be a guy behind you. And one of your voices will call out, watch out, from behind, and you dodge out of the way just as the swing comes down.
That's cool. Yeah.
It's like I said, it's a fucking gorgeous game. This game looks amazing. The animations are incredibly well done. The voice acting is very, very well done. Mm. It's got a little bit of FMV, so that's great.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah. So there's this guy that shows up in these visions. And the first time you see it kind of throws you off because the game looks so good. It looks, going for a very realistic style, and then you see this FMV of this guy, and it's a little jarring because you realize that that's actually the real. It's
uncanny
strange.
Valley-ish almost.
Little bit. So it's a hard game to recommend.
Really,
because on one hand, it's only $30, so it's not exactly a high cost of entry, and it's, I believe, about 6 to 8 hours, so it's not short.
Hmm.
But the gameplay is so simplistic that even though I'm enjoying the game and I'm enjoying the story, and the combat's, it's enough to get you through. There's so little to do in the game. It's so much of just walking around, doing puzzle, fighting guys, walking around, doing puzzle, fighting guys, that I find myself only playing it in short spurts.
Right.
Because I just kind of, I'll go through a couple puzzles. I'm kind of done doing this right now. I'll shut it off and then come back again later for a little bit more. So I don't know. It's a real particular kind of game. It's not something I can just kind of blanket statement say like, hey, everybody should go out and buy this. It's only $30. It's awesome. Right. It is. Those are all true facts. But the gameplay, just there's not enough there to really 100% say like, yeah, you should go get this.
Such a strange thing, because if you think about walking simulators, like I love me some walking simulators. If you think about Gone Home and a bunch of others in the recent past. But I think part of the reason they work is because they're only like 2 to 3 hours long. It's maybe four.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that they added a little bit of gameplay, and that it feels like that's actually kind of detracting from the experience if it was shorter. And
yeah, the gameplay definitely. Yeah, because it makes it feel like it's a different kind of game, even though it's not, by adding kind of the combat in there and stuff. Also, like those walking simulator games, like Gone Home and Tacoma and that kind of stuff. Part of what makes them interesting to continue playing is, like you said, one, they're very short, but also they are just chock full of detail, things to look at, things to pick up, interact with, all kinds of stuff. This is just, it's very, very pretty to look at. But it's just kind of corridors of, you know, like woods and like, you know, abandoned towns and, you know, stone monoliths. And like, it's cool to look at, but there's not enough there to do in the environment. You're not looking at like details of things. You'll find occasional little monoliths you can go up to and like get a little bit of story out of them. But also, like, even those, if you walk away too far, they'll start to get quiet and you can't hear it anymore. So you kind of have to hang out in the area while you listen to it.
God, I hate that.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
They give you a decent leash on it, but it does eventually, like, it will start to fade, and you got to turn back around if you want to keep hearing it.
Not good enough. Hate it.
But like, aside from those, and the puzzles you do to actually advance through the game, there's nothing else to really like do or look at. Like, it's not like picking up, you know, notes from left from people and getting some more backstory through that stuff, or like, just there's nothing there. Like, you're walking through the pretty environments and doing the puzzles, and that's it.
Right.
And the game's also very predictable. Like, you'll literally walk into a room, you're like, oh, this is the combat room. Sure enough, five steps in, guys start popping up out of the ground. Or you walk into another area, you're like, well, I'm not finding anybody here because it's this narrow thing with all this stuff in the way, and they're not going to have me fight there. And sure enough, there's no combat there either.
But
it seems like it's a really good story.
Yeah, is the story good? So it sounds like the story is good, though.
Yeah, it seems like the story is really good. Like I said, the voice acting is very well done. What little your main character says, the FMV guy, and also the voices that you're constantly hearing, you would think it would get really irritating, but they're well done enough that they don't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fair. Yep.
Even though, like, you know, you'll have like four voices or whatever, and three of them say different variations of the same thing, telling you basically like, hey, keep walking forward, dummy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, man, you just make me wonder if I should pick this up, because it's such an interesting experiment that I want to support it. And at the same time, like, I don't have the energy right now to have another story-based game.
That's the hard part, too, is, like, if this was, like, release week of when it came out, then I could more easily say, like, oh, yeah, there's nothing else to play right now.
Yeah, nothing else.
$30, go get it. There's so much other shit right now coming out to play or that we're still catching up on that even I'm having a hard time like putting the time aside to actually go back and play it.
Yeah.
Even though I would like try to get through it before the end of the year.
I mean, like, Nier Automata is still in my proverbial drive, and I'm just, fuck, I need to go back and play that game, especially since like Vinny's playing it on Stormcast.
Okay, so I have a question for you about that, because that's on sale on Steam right now.
Is it? Okay.
Am I going to need to play that game?
Shinboy says yes. It's his game of the year so far.
Well, what game is this?
Nier Automata.
PC port is decent enough?
The PC port, I didn't have any problems with the first mission, which I played twice. That's all I played of the game. I played 2 hours of the game.
Oh, you ended up only playing 2 hours.
Yeah, I only played fucking two hours of it.
Finished it.
No, I need to go back and finish that fucking game. Well, finish it 8 times, whatever the fuck it is with the
philosophy. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I don't play games more than once, so I'm not sure that's a game for me.
Because, well, apparently every playthrough is actually like actually different. You're playing a different character through different levels. It's not multiple playthroughs. The whole thing's a lie.
Then that's just a poorly designed game.
Yeah.
Like most people who play video games are going to play through the first time and be done with it and never see the rest of it.
Exactly. Never see the rest of it ever. They might go, oh, you might have unlocked anything in the post game. Like no one would look at that stuff. But apparently, no, this is that it may as well just have the first game over screen may as well be chapter one. Like Metal Gear Solid fucking 5 or whatever it is, right?
I was going to say, if they're going to do multiple endings, at least do it the Kojima way.
Yeah. Well, he's like trailers of what's next.
Make it obvious, like, yo, you're not done with this game. We're going to keep going.
Oh, I can't believe that game wasn't in the top 10. I would still feel robbed. I still feel that game was so good. Anyway.
That game played good. Okay. You're right.
Okay. I like the story, too. Even though, you know what? I'm not going to talk about this Metal Gear Solid 5 right now.
The other game, one of the other games I played.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Oh my god! I'm actually surprised that isn't your front runner this week. I thought you'd really like that game. No,
I don't hate it.
And that's the crazy thing. The reason I didn't laugh out loud when you mentioned that game is because I've heard from many people that's actually very good. It's actually very, very good.
It actually totally is. Like, it is actually a very good game. The only real complaints I have about it is that outside of the combat, there's like nothing to do. There's nothing to that game at all.
Okay. Weird. Okay.
At least so far.
No story in the Mario game. You're literally
you're walking through an environment until you get to the next fight, and then you do that fight, and I'm guessing occasionally these story things might happen eventually. But like you joke about no story in a Mario game, but like in a Mario game, like usually like you're doing things throughout
you're constantly doing stuff. Yeah.
In this, you are literally just walking through an environment. You have some light little puzzle things like, oh, you can go over and hit the switch and that makes this cannon come up and you can go to the cannon. It'll shoot you over to this island and give you a treasure chest. Right. So you'll find stuff like that. But like, there's not a lot of gameplay, and this is a Mario game where you can't jump. There's no jump button.
I was going to ask.
That bothers me a lot.
How would you have thought about this game if it was like a medium tier Mario level between each, shooting segment?
That would be a much more interesting game.
Mm. With like maybe the rabbits is like
because a, it literally
yeah. The hook.
It just as it is right now, it feels like they had the concept of the XCOM style game,
yeah.
and they spent so long getting that gameplay down that they just didn't have time to make a game around it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just kind of quickly put together this world and then threw combat sequences in there. I don't know. It feels real weird, and I would say like it feels really weird for a $60 game. I feel like the only reason this game is $60 is because they had to pay the Mario license
and it's on the Switch
to make it,
and so there's no competition. It's like we have a million games to play but not on the Switch, not really. Like, so it's pretty much just that.
Yeah, and like that said, like it's still a good game. Like that, when you get into those fights, like that combat feels good, right. It is more challenging than you would expect it to be from a Mario game. My son is actually kind of like thought it was cool and decided to play a little bit, and I think he only got like a few fights in and then he was done because it just got too difficult even on easy mode for him. It's not really meant for kids. Like it's like the first like actual boss battle I actually kind of struggled with, and I granted I'll say I'm generally bad at tactical games, tactical RPGs. It's not an easy game. Like I've heard this from like multiple other people as well. Like it definitely is not an easy game. The difficulty does ramp up pretty quickly. But there's cool shit you can do in the game. Like you can literally like one single move could be you move your character, you do a slide kick to hit an enemy, you run over to one of your other characters, jump off of their jump off the character or whatever, and they'll launch you up to like a high ground behind cover, and then you take shots from up there at an enemy, and then can go into like Overwatch as well. Like you can do a lot of cool shit like in one single turn.
Yeah.
It's nice that the movement is not like it is grid based, even though you don't see the grid, but it's not like so much that like it's not very limiting. Like you can actually you can move in this fucking game. So that's cool. It is a good game. It's another one that I kind of just play in small spurts because there's so little to do between fights. That like generally like two or three fights and I'm kind of done. I've gotten out of my system.
Pricing here, and it's I have my Switch out, by the way. Second time on the podcast, I've had just take out my fucking Switch. It's full $89.95. I'm just checking what else is out in the Switch, and Binding of Isaac is fucking half full price at $30-ish US, and I would not pay that much money for Binding of Isaac. There's nothing else on this thing. I'm actually kind of, now that we mentioned it, I'm just kind of looking at it. It doesn't really, Sonic Mania's out. Okay.
Yeah. Like, something. Yeah. There's some stuff coming out. It's trickling.
I think everyone's playing catch up. Maybe next year, the year of the Switch.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the Switch, like all the third party developers, especially like definitely went into this. Like we saw the Wii U, we're not committing anything to this exactly. thing. And then yeah. it like came out and fucking sold like crazy. And now all the developers like, oh shit, get a team on making a game for this thing.
Yeah, people want
like EA has already committed that like at least the next FIFA will also be on Switch.
I wonder if it'll be a kiddie
FIFA. They're already committing a second year of FIFA.
Okay.
What's that?
I wonder if it'll be a kiddie FIFA. Like they just okay, good.
This like they're already putting one out and then they're already saying the next one will also be on
Switch. Oh, they're already putting this year's one out. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean it's like a stripped down version of it in terms of like it's not on the Frostbite engine. And doesn't have the like big mode, whatever, I forget what it's called. But otherwise, like people were expecting it to be kind of this kiddie one. And I think at some point one of the people on the team like kind of alluded to that. But like no, it is actually FIFA 17. It's just like not the PS4 version.
Right. Far out. But so now they have essentially XCOM on there. That's kinda cool. Like I don't know if I ever pick it up. I don't like Mario. I don't dislike Mario, but I don't like Mario. And I hate Rabbids, so this is like doubly.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you don't like Mario because of the gameplay, like this is definitely not Mario gameplay at all.
Yeah.
You do nothing in this game you would do in a Mario game other than like you do collect coins. But I mean, like it has a main hub that you can go back to, and like there's stuff there. Like there are skill trees for characters. Like this is a deeper game. Looked like it was going to be.
I think Vinny was talking about that these last week's podcast or on the quick look or something, but like you get to points in that story and then suddenly like, oh, and you can do all of this, and it's just suddenly there's like
I hit that point.
Yeah, it like multiplies your options and it's like, oh shit, this is actually a real ass game. So it seems interesting. But do you think it's one, okay, of the two games you're playing, Hellblade and that, are you gonna finish them? Is that the trajectory you're on?
I would like to finish Hellblade by the end of the year, if at all possible. Mostly because I'm just kind of guessing that I'm going to be the only one on the podcast that actually plays that game. I want to see if it's something worth talking about at the end of the year.
Right.
Because I've heard some generally positive things about it. So I'd like to get through that game to the end. Mario & Rabbids, I don't expect I'll finish that by the end of the year just because I'm playing it in small chunks. And like that's not generally my kind of game anyway. I'm not big on I own games. I put like a couple of hours if that into the first one and I've never touched the second one. So I'll play it, but I'm not in a hurry. It's not going to be something I talk about at the end of the year most likely, unless something crazy happens and turns me around.
Nice.
The only other thing I played, I had to double check and make sure I could talk about it, because they have a weird NDA on it. But I had played Gearbox's Project 1v1.
What the fuck is that?
That's their new game.
What?
They have a new game?
Game. It's called Project 1v1.
I have not.
It sounds like you're definitely breaking an NDA with this, because I've never heard of this.
I double checked and saw a developer post, and so you can't record any videos or like any kind of gameplay of the game at all, but they have it completely open. You can actually go to their forums and look at like actually read the Project 1v1 forums as well. They're not that closed on it. They definitely are fine with people talking about it. They just don't want any video getting out of it at all.
Is this linked to that news recently where Randy Pitchford was like going, Borderlands would have been more successful if it didn't have a like cartoon short style?
No. Okay. No, the news of Project 1v1.
1v1?
Yeah, so it is actually 1v1.
Jesus.
It is 1v1 Quake with your guns and abilities being decided by a 5-card deck that you pre-make before going into the match. And guess what? It has loot boxes with more cards.
This, can I predict that this will do horribly without ever having played it?
You can predict this because it's a fucking bad game.
Oh, wow. Oh, excellent. Wow.
So it's 1v1, feels like a Quake UT style game. It's very, very fast. There are jump pads on maps. But so there's a few problems I have with it. One of them is because it's 1v1, the maps are super fucking tiny. Like super fucking tiny.
Interesting.
Which sort of makes sense because that means that you're never too far from your opponent. They're very vertical. Like where there's two maps, I think, right now in the beta. And they both have like at least three different levels to them.
Do you use
one
guns?
Problem I have
is it you a do, shooting
you,
game?
Yes. Okay. All right. Yes, you use guns. Your two default guns you start with are shotgun and rocket launcher. And get others later that you can swap out. But like, so one of the other issues I have with it is that like, I get the concept of like 1v1 fights being fun, but basing an entire game around that.
Oh boy, yeah, that's a terrible idea.
That's so strange.
So basing an entire game around that already like doesn't seem like a great idea. And guess what? It's really not. But also then you have the issue of the loot boxes. So the loot boxes you earn through doing at least ranked play. That's what I played. I assume you get it in unranked too, but I'm not certain. You open a loot box, you get cards out of it. Before you load into the game, you can have loadouts of cards. You bring a 5-card deck into the game, which is two guns and 3 abilities. My first match I played in ranked with a 0 MMR, the first guy I played against had a card where he was able to just drop a turret on the level. Huh. And
great.
You take a lot of damage from turrets, especially when you have the basic loadout and you don't really have anything to really deal with it.
Right.
Now granted, you like first win, you get a chest. Second win, you get a chest. I did 3 matches so far. Third win, I got a chest. So like I'm getting chests fairly quickly. But it feels like already feeling that there, it feels like this game is just ready to be completely fucking unbalanced.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because it's fucking Quake RNG the game.
Right.
What the fuck is wrong with Gearbox?
I decided to come in with a fucking, you know, a shotgun and a Gatling gun, and that guy came in with a sniper rifle. Whoops, guess he wins.
Wow, okay. That's so strange. And,
So it's another thing too. Like, so one of the base abilities is a double jump. One of the base ability cards is a double jump. It's on cooldown.
What?
So like you double jump and then you can't double jump anymore for like 6 or 7 seconds.
Oh god, damn. that's painful.
You have another ability that's one of the default ones that allows you to. It's basically Tracer from Overwatch, so it allows you to kind of rewind time and your health.
Okay.
So if you take a bunch of damage, you can use that on top of health. You get 3 charges.
For the whole
after
match.
After your 3 charges, that's it. The whole match. So you have 100 health. You have 100 health. There are small health pickups dotted around the map. Not very many, like 2 or 3, I think, per map. They don't refill you, but your health doesn't refill otherwise either. And so you can die fairly quickly. Especially if somebody has like a sniper rifle, as I noted in one of the games I played, they can kill you in like 2 shots with a sniper rifle if they're good enough. And if you have rockets and shotguns for your base guns, really hard to deal with a sniper rifle, especially when you have a sniper rifle guy with a turret. So he can put the turret to cover his ass while he snipes you.
I see. That sounds like a good combo.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, like the abilities don't feel good. Like, and granted, this is still super early. It's like right now they do consider it like pre-alpha, so a lot could change about the game. But even just the base concept of having an entire game just based around this like 1v1 Quake style fighting, none of it does not feel good.
It clearly grabs a lot.
Duran.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just going to say, of course, the fact that there's only three cooldowns and the 7-second cooldown makes sense, because it's better if you just have upgrades of those cards available in the loot boxes, so you don't need to come up with brand new cards. So in the next time you open a loot box, maybe you'll get
a gold one,
a 5-second cooldown, and maybe four.
So that's like the other issue, too, that I see with this game long term is that it seems like it's modeled to be a free-to-play game, which means that you're going to be buying those chests, which means this game is, by default, designed to be pay-to-win. So you pay money from the get-go and get all kinds of cool cards to just destroy people with in ranked.
I mean, you can only expect the best quality from the developers who brought you titles such as Battleborn.
Yeah, so that's actually what I was telling Thur when I was kind of describing this to him, is, like, I think Gearbox tricked a lot of people, because a lot of people see Gearbox as this like great developer because of Borderlands. But I think what people don't realize is that Gearbox is actually a terrible fucking developer.
They just
happened to make one good game.
Exactly.
Fuck. Like, these are the same guys that made Colonial Marines. Like, this is a bad fucking developer.
Yeah.
They just have one good hit that they've exploited three times.
Fucking hell. It's humorous to me because you can see where it draws its things from, like small health pickups around the map. That's just so Quake and Doom.
Yeah.
And like that's just all pulling from era. Then you look at the card system, it's like, okay, some things are moving towards cards. I've always fucking hated cards, but I can see where they cribbed that from. And then cooldowns on abilities, like, okay, you look at Overwatch. Like, you can fucking everything. It's trying to combine a lot of different things, but.
It's kitchen sink the shooter.
Yeah, it's. I'm soul aside, because I haven't seen the game, but when ARMS was announced, I remember talking to you after E3 and going, "Oh, this is perfect. This reminds me exactly like a 1-on-1 rocket battle where you're jumping around, you're like jumping in 3D space and like shooting rockets at each other, and that would be awesome." And ARMS turned out to be a pretty okay game, but. This doesn't have any of that heart, and it doesn't have any of like the twist on it. It's bringing together the, I think, wrong part.
Stop being unreasonable. Why are you asking for originality in video games?
Cynic, is like you're talking about like the fun of having like the 1v1 rocket battles, whatever.
Yeah.
This also is not that game because everything is corridor.
Fuck.
So there's no doing? Like big open area for you to be. Rockets through and everything. Like everything is fucking corridors.
That's just garbage.
There's like one open area in this map.
It should just be a semicircle. That should be the map. The map should just be a semicircle, a bowl, and you just run around and rocket jump. And
like three jump pads. Yeah.
That's it. It's like they saw the cool things and then pulled just the wrong parts of them.
Yes. Exactly.
Fuck. Oh man! Oh well.
It is super early. I'll continue to check in with it, and I'll let you know if things change.
Is this early access?
But just even as just a base concept, it's not even early access. Like literally, I had to sign up for it on their website. Like is a closed build.
Jeez. Okay.
I mean, they
again, it's pre-alpha, but also like the art seems like maybe it's final. This game looks bad. From a design standpoint, like the character, like so, like the audio is good. Like you can actually hear the footsteps of the other person, so you'll know like if they're above you, or they're moving from the right side of you to side of you or whatever, because it is a vertical. Like that part is good. The bad part is I feel like the character models blend in with the environments a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like the environments are too busy.
Yeah.
And the character models don't stand out well enough from that. Mm. Which again, like maybe that could change. Maybe this isn't actual final art, or maybe they have time to make better final art. But it's just it's. I feel like unless Borderlands 3 turns out to be like some amazing game that Borderlands 2 and pre-sequel weren't, I don't know the Gearbox is going to be around too much longer if this is the shit they're putting out.
Jeez. Well, they've already got that Duke Nukem license to fall back on if everything goes to shit.
You're right. They do. I'm waiting for the skin to come to this game.
Exactly.
I hope they change the name of the game, because I don't think they realized one-on-one first-person shooters is not the direction the industry is going
apparently,
in.
Apparently, yeah.
I mean, look at those.
The name doesn't fix that, though, because that actually is the gameplay.
I mean, they have no option
on
adding features of having more than one player if they're going to name their fucking game one versus one. Why did they think that was a good gimmick? Of all of the limiting gimmicks you could think of in a video game, for a first-person shooter, choosing a 1v1 gimmick.
I don't know,
because those are really successful and existent.
Wait,
you know, so many great 1v1 shooters like Overwatch or Counter-Strike.
It's like somebody on the team. It's like Randy Pitchford was like playing Quake Live and just having like a fucking baller ass time in the game, 1v1ing some dude on. A map, because I don't know what fucking Quake maps are named.
Yeah.
And just had a fucking good time doing it. And at the end of the session, he's like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm making this game. This experience I just had, I'm gonna make that into a game because it was so fucking good.
That's so pure. I don't think that's true.
It is. But the thing that was like Randy as a dude, like I could see him having that. I could see Randy Pitchford as a dude like having that thought. Like he say what you will about Randy Pitchford, he is kind of pure at heart in like what he did with Duke Nukem stuff. Like he legitimately thought he was doing a service for the games industry by putting that game out there. Like legitimately thought that, like,
really, this is I just think he's a fucking retard. I think he saw Hearthstone and he saw like Quake's coming back. Let's merge those two 1v1 cards. That's really successful. Let's merge those two things together. That's what I thought. That's what when you explained Project 1v1, that's the immediate image. Like the cards, the cooldowns,
okay.
Overwatch plus Hearthstone plus Quake.
Yeah, I guess. Like I was saying it before. Only Gearbox could look at something with the purity of the last moments of a Quake match and come up with this. Like, just the opposite things. Like, that the reason Quake's like that is because everyone's got the same, may as well have the same character model, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, well, the crazy part about it too is, like, if you took this game concept and made it a 3v3 shooter,
mm-hmm.
this would be a fucking awesome game.
Yeah, it would be alright.
Cool fucking game.
Yeah, it would be alright.
Just add two more each side. All it takes.
I was literally thinking of the
same
thing.
Maybe they just didn't want to pay for another trademark.
Yeah, it's probably Project 3v3 is too
and
hard.
And then you'd have... if you do that, you have three people on there, you each have your own different loadouts, you can kind of spec to different... different needs of the team or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you could have a true hobby-grade esports game.
Damn straight. And put it in very open...
understand.
Small but open maps. With just enough cover so you can dodge behind things, and that's all you fucking need.
I cannot believe you guys did not blink at me calling it a hobby grade esports game.
I actually don't get the reference. I'm sorry. You don't apologize. Get it, but, I apologize.
Okay. Battleborn was my hobby grade
esports game. Oh, Battleborn. Anyway.
You had to explain the joke. It's not funny.
Yeah.
I guess Project 1v1. Oh, my God. What a terrible name.
Yeah, go to their website and sign up for the beta now.
That's not the release name. That's like Project Natal, right? They're not actually going to call it Project 1v1.
I think this is a trend, man. Games are calling themselves Project XYZ, thinking that it sounds cool and mysterious, and just ends up sounding like, oh, you didn't
say, like,
never ended up naming
in terms game. Of logo design, they're on point. The 1v1 is kind of cool looking.
Okay, that's cool. All right.
Well, I mean, the name is quite descriptive of the amount of thought that went into this game. Mm-hmm. So
actually, there's two positives. Good sound design, good logo design. So whoever those guys are, nailed it. Nailed it. Speaking of which, though, Durin, you were talking about Overwatch before, because it just got me thinking. They added mm-hmm. deathmatch, right? How was that? Is that working out? People seem to like it for whatever reason.
yeah, for some reason, people are playing deathmatch in Overwatch. I play once a week when it resets, so I can get my free loot box.
Okay. See you.
I go in there as D.Va and just wreck shit. I almost got first place in the last one. So they do the loot boxes for that one differently. Okay. Where normally, like, to get a loot box, you have to win to get the weekly loot box from whatever the arcade thing is. With that one, they're not expecting you to win because it's like it's a free for all. Yeah, in terms of the free for all deathmatch, it's like free for all. I think 8-player, if I'm not mistaken, 6-player, mm-hmm. 8-player, something like that. So instead, yeah, it's 8-player because instead, in order to get a loot box, you have to be in the top 4.
Okay.
So as long as you're number 4 or above, you get a loot box out of it. Right. The last one I played, I actually nearly got first place in deathmatch as fucking D.Va, which is hilarious because I was in a deathmatch with, two Hanzos.
Of course.
A Reaper, a Bastion, 2 Junkrats, and a Pharah that eventually switched to a Tracer.
Right.
So, like, all fucking DPS.
Yeah, all DPS.
And then a Bastion. And I still got second place. And so unlike in the normal game, I believe in this one, kills only count as kills if you get the killing blow.
Oh, okay.
So, I believe, like, you can't just, like, be, like, so D.Va tends to get, like, high eliminations in games anyway, because in the game, it counts eliminations as, like, as long as you contributed to the kill.
Yeah.
But in this, I believe it would only make sense if it counts actual kills. So the fact that I got second place behind a Junkrat, it caps at 20. That's where you win, is at 20. I got second place behind a Junkrat, was in first place for most of it, and he got double kill at the end to secure the first place slot. Is just sad for those other DPS. But it's good practice against Hanzo, because like people like playing Hanzo in there, and I can just fucking wreck a Hanzo's face with D.Va. It's hilarious.
Is that mode sticking around? Is that the idea? Or is that a temporary thing?
It's one of the modes in the arcade. So it's like it's completely separate from the normal game, which is good, because like that means they don't have to try to balance around it at all. If people bitch about balance, like, hey, you know what? It's arcade. Fuck it. No one cares.
Right.
So in basic deathmatch, like the crazy part is you can beat anybody.
Hmm.
If you wanted to, you could go fucking like free for all deathmatch as Mercy. Which I don't know, in PTR, I guess you probably would wreck everybody if you did. But it tends to be like the high hitting damage dealers that tend to play there.
Yeah.
In team deathmatch, though, that's where it can get kind of interesting, because there, Mercy is actually very clutch.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
Mercy's res actually deletes kills from the opposing team.
And they were talking about changing her ulti because of that, I think.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even fucking get me started. Mercy's so fucking broken. I started playing competitive now.
Uh-huh.
And there is nothing worse than getting an amazing like quad kill and clearing a point, and then just having a Mercy fucking show up out of fucking nowhere because she's hiding in a corner like a bitch. Yeah,
of course.
And getting a full team res.
Okay.
So that's I've been playing a shit ton of Overwatch.
It sounds like
since it started.
The reason I asked was because with Battlegrounds, Overwatch, and that's pretty much is the big two right now in terms of shooters, and CSGO to some lesser extent, or probably a greater extent, who the fuck knows. But the, my question was, what the fuck happened to Lawbreakers? Like, what the fuck happened to that game?
He's asking the same question right
now. Yeah. That was like set up to be.
That game was actually, so on week of release, that game had lower numbers than Battleborn.
I saw a post on NeoGAF saying it was in like the hundreds, like 400, 300 people playing that game.
Lawbreakers was actually dead on arrival.
First of all, I had no idea it was coming out.
Rink had more players playing it than fucking Lawbreakers did.
Jeez. Like, what happened? I have no idea. I would love to see what happened.
Okay, so as somebody who played in the beta, I didn't buy the game because I'm not crazy. I'm not spending money on that game. but as somebody who played that game in the beta, my personal opinion is that it's a fucking bad game.
Oh,
it's
really? Another game with a
bad concept.
Huh.
Because like, okay, so again, like they built a game that seems to be modeled after the UT style of
reviving that
specifically game. Like I would say like UT 2004 because they use more of like the conquest style maps. It's not so straight deathmatch.
Yeah.
So you know with
language,
those
by the way that's
so like you know with those games like speed is everything. Like speed is everything, movement, like everything is all about just move. You never stop moving, never stop shooting. That is those games. So picture yourself yourself playing a game of UT 2004, and you're moving across the map, and you move into an area, and suddenly in that area, it is low grav.
Okay. Yeah.
That is every map in this game. That is actually like a feature of this game, is that like low gravity. So now you go from like fucking jumping around to like now you're just floating through the air, easy to pick off.
I forgot, because low grav is some of my favorite stuff, but we always kept the thing on where you could just keep jumping. So it was low grav, but you could always just keep moving, right? If it was just low grav and you slow down, that sounds like the fucking worst thing possible.
You have some control when you're in there, but it doesn't feel good at all. Right. It does not feel good. And the game, like, I think it only has two modes to it. They're both objective-based modes. The classes, they feel all right. Like, it's not a terrible game. It's not a game they should have charged money for.
Right. Oh, wait. I thought it was free to play.
Yeah, they changed their model. No, they changed their model prior to release. They charged 30 or 40, I think it's $40 for it. But
what?
It's built like a free-to-play game. Like, it has the fucking loot box shit built in there still from when it was a free-to-play game.
I think that could be what happened to Lawbreakers. Like, the answer to that fucking story was like, you marketed your game as a free-to-play game for 4 years, then suddenly it was paid on release? Well, fuck you. That's
I think like they were going to make it free-to-play, and then they saw the success of Overwatch, and like, well, they charged $40 for theirs. Exactly. Like, we charge $40 for it. Like, it's like quality.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like that was the decision that they made.
With Cliff B saying that.
But like, once you say you gave
it anime and or something, like, what the fuck? $40. Sorry?
Yeah, I said, once you say your game is free to play, you cannot then come out and say like, no, we changed our mind. We're charging $40 for it. Yeah, we think it's that good.
No one will play it. Well, case in point, that's what you get.
Like when Overwatch came out, like, people were kind of annoyed about the fact that it was not free to play, because they felt like what the type of game it was, that it felt like it needed to be free to play.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, it did well and found an audience and all that. Mm-hmm. But like, it's also a much higher quality game than what Lawbreakers is. Like, Lawbreakers was coming out at a time where like Battleborn went free to play just to stay afloat.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I look at Lawbreakers and it just looks like a Western shooter. Like, it doesn't look interesting or different at all in any way, shape, or form.
No, like, visually it's super generic looking. Yeah. There's some interesting movement related stuff in the game. Like, it's not like completely generic. It's not a bad game.
Right.
But I think it was just in so many respects, it was a misguided game.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess. It speaks for the market speaks for itself. Like, in this case, I can fucking hell. I have not heard a single person saying the same thing about Lawbreakers that have about Hellblade. People about Hellblade is like, this game's great. It's maybe a little bit expensive, but people should play this. I heard nothing similar about Lawbreakers. It's just been gone.
No, I haven't heard anything about Lawbreakers since launch.
Yeah. Fuck, that's so strange. This year's been the weirdest year, hey, for 3D games.
That's actually the other thing too, is like, Lawbreakers happened the way it did because like, this is a year where if you're releasing a big budget game, it's got a fucking hit. Because there are so many good games coming out this year.
Yeah.
There's so much competition everywhere that like, you've got to really fucking stand out, or and you're just going to get left behind.
Unlike previous years, I would argue, like, many years in the past, you'd have like a stint of a lot of games, but some of them would rise to the top and some of them would just disappear and so on. But for this year, it feels like the games are so good that people are actually delving into the backlogs and playing. Like, you're not competing against just the game that came out this week. You're competing against Nier Automata from a couple weeks ago and shit. Like, the fucking...
Right, yeah.
You're just screwed months ago. Then Destiny comes out. Like, fucking hell. This is just... Yeah, no, you're screwed in this year. What is this video you posted, noob?
This is for later, but it's basically Lawbreakers and why it's a huge fucking failure.
Nice. I'm gonna put it in, you know what? We might put it as a plug. Make it your plug this week and remind me.
I will make it my plug this week.
That's pretty funny. Anything else, Durin, before we move on? We're like an hour in or something. Surprisingly.
No, I think that's everything. I've been playing a lot of Overwatch. It's a bad game. Overwatch is my Dota. We can move on.
It's a bad game because it's so good. Anyway, Noobarama. you told me before the show that you played nothing. Just confirming. Do you have anything to play that you played or do you want to talk about this week?
Okay. I don't play anything.
All right. So let me tell you guys about Destiny 2. That's what I'm
playing. That game comes out in October.
Yeah, exactly. The game comes. I was going to buy it in October until I realized the raid was coming out next week and I ended up fucking buying it on release day. God, I couldn't help it. I could not help it, man. I played the beta on PC.
Happy with purchase?
Yes, actually. I'm really happy with my purchase. I'm happy with my purchase because I'm playing this, I'm loving it, and also I'm not loving it enough to probably buy both. So I think I've actually just short-stepped the whole thing, which is good, like, for me. Like, I don't know. I'd rather spend the time now than later. I don't know. It could get hooks into me if the raid is amazing or whatever, but I don't think that's going to happen. Destiny 2 is a game that was recently in beta, and I played it on PC, to give you some background. On beta, the beta PC. And that
I also played that same beta.
I thought it was pretty good. Like, that's a solid video game when I played on PC. Like, the shooting was just right. The controls were on point. Nothing, everything was exactly where you thought it would be and should be. And it just kind of worked. And that's more than I could say about many games that come out nowadays, especially shooters. I was surprised at how competent the PC version was, even in terms of graphic options and everything. They just nailed the PC version for that game. So obviously my immediate thought was, okay, I'll just buy this on PC. It seems like the perfect place to play fucking Destiny. It seems awesome. But it got the worm got into my mind, and I was thinking about it. I was like, that game's pretty good. Maybe I should just play more. Maybe we should just buy both versions, like the PS4 version and a PC version. So I ended up, the day before the game came out, a person at work was actually like, oh, you know the raid's out next week? I'm like, wait, what? I thought the raid, I actually legitimately thought that there'd be other stuff and the raid would happen after the PC version comes out. Because that would give, if the raid comes out first and people move to PC, that means the PC only audience will be left behind really quickly, and that sucks for them. And I'm actually kind of annoyed they're doing it this way to some extent, because half the is learning the raid.
Keep in mind, your stuff doesn't carry over, so they wouldn't be left behind. If people would have moved over to PC, they would have to start all over again anyway.
Oh, true. But yes and no, because it's like Dark Souls, where the actual thing you're learning is how to fight, not necessarily.
Oh, sure, in that regard. I mean, yeah, but like, but I mean, just like, by the time PC comes out, like, that just means go watch a video.
Exactly.
Like, that's like any MMO.
And that's kind of what I mean. Like, the fun is also in learning it. It's the beating your head against the raid for like 2 days and then actually figuring out your way through the fights. And that's, for me, my favorite part of Destiny is the learning process. And so, like, if that's all known by the time it comes out in PC, I actually kind of feel sorry for the guys who are PC only. If, assuming you're the type of person who would go out and watch videos, if I was you and I was getting into the PC version of Destiny, I wouldn't watch anything about how to play Destiny and tips about Destiny 2. I would just go into it blind and try to do everything as blind as you can. And that's the way to preserve fun for yourself in the future. But for me,
No worries there, because I don't think I'm gonna make any videos.
That's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. Destiny. And honestly, though, that's a fucking good game. Like, it's a fucking good game. That's all I could say about Destiny, man. Like, fuck. I'm shocked at the. If there was like a most improved award for developer, I'd probably avoid it. Like, maybe it doesn't count because they used to be good with Halo and they just kind of stumbled with Destiny and now they're just kind of finding their feet again. But yeah, Destiny 2 is a good game. Yo.
So I played that same beta on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with every point you made about it. Like, yeah. I played that and like, this is a solid game. I had fun the entire time I was playing it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the doing the strike or whatever. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed learning the fight, even like, you know, that was all fun. And then I finished the strike, and my first thought was like, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to buy this game.
Oh yeah, I can see why someone would think that, because it feels like any aspect, any single mission of this game, you play it and it's like, okay, yeah, that's just a solid one of those. But for me, the difference was. when I went in with people like my old clan, for example. That's when you play it with friends, as like anything else. That's when it gives
the right. But what I'm looking at it, what I'm looking at it as, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the PC version. There's gonna be a lot of people coming into it that maybe had never played Destiny before.
Yeah.
And like, it's not, again, like, it's weird. It was a weird feeling because, like, it's not a bad game. I had no complaints about it.
Whatsoever. It's not a spectacular game.
I came out of it with the feeling of, like, there is literally nothing about this game that makes me feel like I need to spend any money on it.
There's nothing new. There's nothing new in this game. From any... I'd liken it to Uncharted 3. That's what I'm going to pitch this at, right? It's a fantastic game that does nothing new, really. If you actually look at the legitimate, of like the piece parts of it, nothing new. It has a lot of small changes that are fantastic for people who used to play Destiny. But
for same, I think that's probably my biggest issue with it is that it's just another first person shooter.
Yes. It is 100%.
And I already don't play many of those anymore.
Exactly. And so if you're in that position, I can definitely see why you wouldn't feel the need to play Destiny 2. For me, though, because I had a vested interest and started playing it, when you do get into it and you do have a fire team and you do actually get through all the more difficult parts of that game, the feeling you get from doing something difficult with friends is there and powerful. And it's worth every second of playing it for me. So we just finished... For example, in the first Destiny, there was this thing. Actually, there's a story here, and I'd actually forgotten totally about it, but it was like late last night, but I may as well tell it. In the first Destiny, there was these things called strikes, which are like little one-off missions. And every strike had a nightfall. Nightfall is a very, very difficult version of that strike. In the old Destiny, if you imagine like Halo skulls, like massive modifiers that would change fundamentally how the balance of the game and how enemies fight you, that's how Nightfalls were. They applied skulls to the Nightfalls. In this game, they're doing similar. However, they changed the nature of those skulls. And what it is now is you have an incredibly difficult mission with very high level enemies that you've played before. Like, you know the way through it, but it's a much more difficult version of it. And there's two modifiers. One is that there's a 10-minute time limit to finish this mission with a fire team. And the second is a random mod which changes every week. Now, they play together very interestingly. The second mod this week was, I think it's called Prism. Every 30 seconds... the elements in the game, there's three elements, and they have no, like, untyped damage. So your normal weapon does untyped damage, like kinetic damage, and everything else has an element. Every 30 seconds, an element is chosen to be twice as powerful, and all other elements are halved as powerful. So you have to, like, constantly switch weapons as you fight this entirely difficult mission on your way through. And that was fucking awesome. To the point where, like, you're like shooting an enemy and you see the notification that the element changed, like, oh shit, and you're switching your guns and you're trying to find ammo and you're like doing that all the stuff at the same time. The second part of it is the time limit. This week was called I think Kill Timer, where you have a 10-minute time limit, but every enemy you kill adds 2 seconds to the time limit. Or if it's a difficult enemy, it adds 7 seconds. So you're charging through this thing, trying to keep your kill timer up and your weapons to the right attunement at all times while being damaged by incredibly difficult enemies in a very interesting and difficult strike at the same time with three people. So yesterday we played this through for our first time with the one person in our team that did it before. And we were doing well. We got halfway through the mission and then it went to arc burn. So arc damage was doubled by the enemies and doubled by us. But for me, my only arc weapon was a sword, and that means I had to go up to enemies and they would wreck me before I got to them, so I had to stay at a distance. Then they spawned a bunch of enemies and our team wiped. And we had 7 minutes left on the clock. And we're like, oh shit. And we just get wiped again. And wiped again. And suddenly we had like 3 minutes left on the clock. And we had like a half the mission to go. So we just pushed. We were like, okay, fuck this. We're just going to go. We hammered away. Like, everyone was on point, killing things as fast as they can, dying every now and then, but getting the res, just keeping our game up to the point where the final fight happens. and we just something just happened. We had like 4 minutes left at that point. We built up time. We had 4 minutes left. We died a couple times, and then it got literally to the last 30 seconds. But because of the way it worked, the last 30 seconds lasted like 2 minutes of us DPSing the boss, killing ads, DPSing the boss, killing ads, to the point where we finally killed it and we had 10 seconds left on the timer. That feeling of beating that was one of my favorite feelings of the last month, 2 months, 3 months of video gaming. It was fucking incredible. And that's the stuff Destiny gives you. Like, it's good with the fire team. It's a fucking awesome game. Do you need to play it? Probably not. But I love it. I love it. It's so
yeah. Cool. That sounds great. I'm not at all going to diminish that whatsoever. Yeah. The whole time I'm listening to this, I'm like, they learned a lot from Mythic Radio or Mythic Dungeons.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. Like MMOs. Like, they learned a lot from MMOs.
You are literally describing a Mythic Dungeon, like a super high level Mythic Dungeon, and wow,
so good.
It's like, wow, somebody fucking finally pulled something from Blizzard.
Yes. And I'm not surprised. Like, then Guild Wars did well, not this stuff, but like similar ideas with their I forget what they called them, but they weren't raids. Fucking those missions we had, but maybe they were raids. I don't fucking remember. But with time limits and so on. When you put it all together in a shooter that shoots well with good fire team mechanics and like fun interplay between classes, like this game nails it in a lot of ways. And to some point, like, it might be in my top five games this year, but at the same time, I can't sit here and go, everyone must play Destiny. I just have to say that if you're in the mood for a really good sci-fi shooter, play Destiny with friends. Don't play it alone. It's pretty garbage alone. But yeah, with friends. Wow. And the single
player. That's kind of my other thing too. Is like, I know people that are going to play it, mm-hmm. Even on PC, which is where I would play it if I was going to play.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that would be consistently on the same time I would be to play it.
Yeah, same. If it wasn't for knowing people from the first Destiny, I wouldn't have had anyone to play with. And I would have nowhere near the fun I had yesterday, for example. But yeah, and I even got some PvP in because there's a fucking quest and I hate it still. That's just me. I hate PvP. But overall, it's just like running things backwards. They changed fundamentally how that game works in the first Destiny in terms of weapons and all that kind of stuff. And the balance of the game is entirely different. Classes feel very different. Everything feels same, but different. And I can only really commend it in that the game seems to be so far better for it. There's less options for guns, but I think they're going to add them as time goes on. They've already laid out the next couple of weeks worth. To give people an idea, the current limit in terms of power level is 300. I am 272. To get into the raid, we think you have to be 260, and that took me about 30 hours to get to. So yeah, you can be raid ready in about 30 hours, including beating the main campaign.
Hang on, you said 30. Yeah, didn't it come out on Tuesday?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just checking.
I actually think I'm closer to 40, but yeah, no, 30-ish
oh,
hours.
Oh my god.
Three of those hours were just PvP, and that didn't help.
I don't feel bad that you didn't get much sleep. That's so self-imposed.
You should have seen me yesterday, man. You should have seen me yesterday, where I woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning, played Destiny till 7 p.m. at night, then realized I was 500 words behind my weekly target for my novel. So I spent 4 hours writing 100 words between like 2 minutes of sleep and barely awake. I haven't read it back. I don't want to read it back anytime soon. But I went to sleep at 11 and I woke up again at 5 a.m. today to play more Destiny. That's my week so far. Durin is shaking his head. I got no excuse. At least I'm not skipping work or anything, so that's something. I'm at least going to work.
What? Wow. What a high standard you hold yourself up to. Amazing.
It's a good game, yo. It's a good game. I gave it, if you get into it, it's so good. It's got that crack. The crack is still there. Anyway. That's Destiny 2, yo. The campaign's way better than it used to be. Definitely feels like a campaign. It feels like a Bungie campaign.
But not like bigger than the last one either, from what I'm gathering.
What do you mean by bigger?
About as long.
Oh, about as long.
Like about as long.
Yeah.
Not as many, not like more environments than the last one had.
Same amount of environments, about as long, but each firefight and each map and each story mission is better. And it's more varied and the enemy designs are more interesting. Like, as I said, same, but different.
And there's actually a story.
Yeah, and there's actually a story. Well, it's a Bungie story. It's got as much story as Halo does.
So much story than Destiny had.
yeah, exactly. It's back to form for Bungie.
I don't have to pull the story up on my phone.
No, you don't. God, the first game. Anyway, and with that, that seems to be our topics for this week. Where are we sitting at? I think we were looking at a 45-minute episode, but we're looking at an hour and a half. That's all right. Might cut down to like an hour 20, but still, that's way better than we thought. But no news, so there you go. Great. So thank you for listening, everyone at home. That was this week's episode of the Scotchcast. Durin, do you have any plugs?
Get better at Overwatch, people. I'm tired of being stuck where I'm at. I need to get out of gold. It's bad. So
directives from high above.
Stop playing Genji.
L2P.
No. Learn to switch when appropriate.
Nice.
Learn when your team says, "Hey, we need a hit scan to take down Pharah." You know, maybe switch off a fucking Symmetra or Torb on attack or something. Like, I don't know. Be a team player.
Nice. Be a team player. That's Durin's plug. New Barama, do you have any plugs this week? I think this is it.
I linked a video on why Lawbreakers is bad.
Well, it's 10 minutes long. Holy shit.
Yes.
And my plug this week is Destiny 2, guys. If you're interested in a good video game, the raid is out Tuesday, the 13th of September. It's probably too late to get in and still get high enough light level to play. Actually, no, I did in 2 days. There's 2 days left. If you skipped Monday and Tuesday of work, you can get enough power to play the raid on Wednesday.
I would say it's not light level, it's power level. It's
power level, yeah. That's stupid. I still call everything by the old name. Like the tower, like there's a new place called the farm, but I still call it the tower or whatever. But yes, thank you for listening for this week's episode of the Scotchcast. We will see you next time.